Hey, everybody, and welcome to You're on Mute. This is Pastor Elise. So excited to have you all back, and so excited to be getting this newest episode of the podcast out to you all. My mom and I are super psyched. This is our very, very first live recorded episode. We did a live recording from the Wild Women Weekend at Lutheridge in Arden, North Carolina. And we had some great question and answers with the participants. And so bear with us. We were working with some new mics, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to hear everything just fine. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode from Wild Women. Hello, Wild Women. You know, that meant something different in the 90s. Thank you. Welcome to the first ever live recording of the podcast, You're on Mute.
Yay.
Thank you. I'm Pastor Elise, and I co-host this lovely podcast with my mom, Pastor Mary.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to kind of give you a little bit of a taste of the podcast itself, kind of how we typically record an episode. We kind of just pick what we want to talk about, and then we talk about it. So
it's really great. What a podcast is.
That's basically what a podcast is. Yes. So we do focus it though a little bit. We kind of, between me and my mom and my dad and my sister, there's three of us that are ordained pastors. And then my sister is a nurse for an ELCA nursing home. So we are 4 for 4 Portico employees, which is very exciting. And, you know, growing up with two pastor parents, my sister and I feel like we've kind of been assisting ministers for our entire lives. And so we would just have these really fun conversations about the church and kind of the world and how it all operates. And then especially when I got into ministry, I was kind of giving my millennial perspective and my first call pastor perspective. And we were just kind of sitting around the living room one Christmas, kind of laughing our tails off, talking about the church. And I said, we should record these. Like, these are funny conversations. Hopefully not just funny to us, because that would be boring for you. But we just have a great time chatting. So like everybody did during the pandemic, we were looking for something else to do. And mom said, let's start that podcast. So,
And because it was COVID time and everybody was trying to learn to Zoom, you know, I mean, my husband tried to have a Zoom council meeting one time. And they spent 2 hours trying to coach everybody about what button they needed to push. And so there was a lot of Howard, you're on mute, you know. And so that's what we decided to call the podcast, is You're on Mute. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of do part of our shtick is that Elise is a millennial. I'm a baby boomer. And so I frequently get teased about a variety of things, from my hearing aids to my lack of technological experience. So, but we always do that in a good way.
It's always good nature.
It's always good nature.
Comes from nothing but love, Mom.
I know.
Yeah.
And so also kind of our little tagline is different generations are differently wise. All right. So we all know things. And instead of doing kind of the competition of, oh, you millennials or, oh, boomer, you know, I mean, we throw that stuff out, but we're not serious about it because
I'm deadly serious about it.
You are?
Boomers are the worst.
My little heart's broken.
No, I'm just kidding. It's all in jest. It's all in jest.
Yeah. So that's important to us too, is to get different perspectives. And a lot of times now we also have a guest that'll be on the show. And the way that we record it is that we do it by Zoom, actually. Mm-hmm. And so Elise is wherever she is and I'm wherever I am. And any guests that we have, occasionally they have been with us, but not usually. So if they are in Chicago or Florida or wherever, they just Zoom from there. Mm-hmm. And then Elise does a fantastic job of being the editor of what we put together. So she has to get it ready for us to publish and broadcast. So she teases me about the fact that I still haven't learned how to edit. Although, Elise, I do think that in retirement, I am going to learn that.
Praise the good Lord, because so Mary, my dear, dear mother, is a great example of someone who lives by to-do lists.
Yes, I am.
And when you are a partner with her on a project, she's a demanding boss. So we will record an episode, and normally our recording time, especially if we have a guest, can sometimes almost go about 2 hours.
Right.
And so that's a lot to edit. Okay. And it ain't easy. And it ain't easy to fit into your busy millennial schedule. And about every other day I get working on that podcast.
No, not every other day. About 2 weeks. And then I'm
going to post the podcast. And the emojis get more and more passive aggressive. With each text, it starts as like the smiley face with the hearts. Working on that podcast? Huh? And then the hearts disappear. And then the smile of the emoji gets less and less upturned until eventually she's like, if you don't post that GD podcast, we're going to have some words.
Well, when the guests start calling me about.
We did have. So, okay. We did have a lovely guest on our last episode, Ginger, who is a usual at Wild Women. And I will say that episode took me a particularly long time to edit. And Ginger emailed us and said, hey, ladies, any word on getting that episode posted? And I went, oh, shit, I need to get myself in gear. And, you know, typical person with ADHD, once I did it, it took like an hour and a half. But I was so dreading that task for the longest time, I avoided it for a month and a half.
So now I'll just always get Ginger on you.
Yeah, just stick Ginger on me and I will absolutely get myself in gear.
What are we doing tonight?
So tonight we are going to chat a little bit. We'll tell you a little bit about our backgrounds. One of the big topics on our podcast in general, kind of an overarching thread, is being a woman of faith from our perspective, specifically women in leadership roles within the church. Even though our ordination dates are separated by about 30 years.
Well, I was 83.
I was 2019. Yeah. Someone do the math. 17 plus 19.
36 years.
Okay. That's why I went to seminary. I'm not a math major. Three is as high as I can count. That was a Trinity joke. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. But even though, like, you know, 37, 6 years separate our ordination, we still face a lot of the same issues, a lot of the same challenges. Even though, I mean, I've only been called to two churches in my ordained ministry, but I've been the first woman at both.
Right.
And
it still happens a lot.
Still happens a lot. And you've always been the first woman at all of your calls.
Always.
As well. anybody here like the first woman to be the council president? Okay.
Back there. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just on council in general? Yeah. Anyone been the first in any, in like your profession or in your life at some point? Anyone been the first at something? Yeah. First female youth director.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, we've all experienced it. Okay, here's another question. How many of you have been the only woman in the room? Ooh.
Many times.
There we go. Yeah. How many of you had the best ideas in the room? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. For everybody listening to this episode, a lot of hands just went up.
They did
in the room.
Go up.
So we all share these similar experiences, whether we're ordained ministers or teachers or youth ministers or accountants or doctors or, you know, anything. Heck, even, you know, being a stay-at-home parent, you're going to face kind of insane amounts of issues as well. And so we like to tackle that. We like to talk to guests. We also like to kind of highlight things that are going on in the church at large. We had an episode with the wonderful Reverend Carla Christopher, mm-hmm. Who we talked about the recent committee on the
Commission for a Renewed Lutheran Church.
Commission for a Renewed Lutheran Church.
And she was the co-chair.
She was the co-chair of that, and that was really incredible. We've had Caroline Lewis, who's a phenomenal John scholar and a professor at Luther. We went to the Holy Land with her, which was really fun. We are working our tails off to get Elizabeth Eaton on. So
yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah,
but
I Liz, if you're listening, we've emailed
Liz. Her. Are you listening,
Liz? If anyone has a connection to Liz Eaton, help us out, because we'd love to chat with her.
Well, we just kind of assume that, you know, this first year that she's not presiding bishop. I wouldn't be answering any emails or taking any phone calls.
Right. Exactly. Cut her some slack.
That's right.
But yeah, so tonight we're going to chat a little bit, and then we have some questions. We want to highlight Wild Women, obviously, because it's such a phenomenal program and has been going for nearly 30 years.
Nearly 30 years, 1996.
Which is pretty awesome. The first one was, yep,
96. Has anybody been here since 1996 doing these? You have? Wow. Fantastic.
I was 10 years old in 1996. Yeah. I love doing that. I do that. My husband is 6 years older than me. And one of my favorite things to do is when we're in the car, he's like, oh, I love this song. I'll say, yeah, I was five when this song came out. He's like, shut up. Make me feel so creepy. If y'all came to my workshop, you know, I love to tease my husband. So it's never ending. But yeah, so we're going to also, we want to get out into the crowd and have you all participate as well. We will bring mics to you, fear not. And so we're going to kind of, if you would like to participate, we kind of want to hear about your history with Wild Women, how many years you've been coming, what keeps you coming back, maybe one of your favorite years. And then we also have some surprise questions that we will pull from the Year on Mute mug.
Yes. That we have a whopping two of these.
We have two. I have one at my house too.
Oh,
so there's three.
We have three.
I don't know why, but Target was selling these. And so they must have heard of us and said, we got to get on this merch train.
I know. That was it.
This podcast is going to take off.
We do have dozens of listeners around.
Dozens of listeners. All over the world. We did recently have a listener in like Turkey.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Our little, the website we post our episodes with tells you where people listen from. And so we have had some international downloads.
That's why I say around the world.
Around the world. We're not lying. But the dozens part is dead on and true. Yeah.
We have about 100 people or so, 120 that listen to every episode.
It would help if we did more than like one every month and a half, I think.
Okay.
But again, we need to retire.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so awesome. And then watch out, y'all. We're talking weekly.
We might be.
No, we're not doing that. Probably still maybe every 2 weeks or every month or something. But we've been doing this for 5 years.
We have. We haven't
and
given up
yet. We have 28 episodes.
Woo! Celebrate.
Let's do it. So
what is kind of cool for me, though, I don't know, Elise, if this happens with you or not. I especially notice this when I go to like our South Carolina Senate Assembly. And I'll have this people that I really don't know. Who are, they're not clergy for one thing, but lay folks will come up, or maybe they are the director of music in their congregation. And, you know, they'll just tell me how much they like listening to Year on Mute, or how much they like reading my blog, or something like that. And it's just so gratifying. And actually, that's one thing that keeps me going, especially with my online Bible study. It's called Super Quick Bible Study of the Week.
This is Year on Mute. You need to stop plugging your other. No, I'm just kidding. podcast talk only. We talked about this.
That's right. We did.
No, I'm kidding. Please continue.
But, you know, one of the things that it's under the category of what keeps us going is that I know when I start looking forward to somebody's blog or somebody's weekly whatever that I know is going to help me with a sermon or, you know, potentially can, and then all of a sudden they stop, you know, and I liked them so much and I miss it. And so I just, that's what always keeps pushing me forward, is somebody out there, even if it's two people, are hoping that I write something about this, mm-hmm. you know, or that we do.
One of those two people. I've been real stuck on sermon topics before, and she's been late with her super quick Bible study. And I will call her and say, what are you preaching on? Because I don't know what I'm preaching on. And I look at your thing to tell me what to preach on. And so then
spark ideas.
It's
more than that.
I've copied and pasted some paragraphs.
Okay, that's all right. Well, that's what it's there for. I wouldn't care a bit.
Sorry, everybody. If anyone thought that I was full of just original ideas, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm just Mary Jr. But yeah, I mean, it is fun.
We are practically the same person, actually, just 30 years apart.
It is true. I will say, if that's the case, if we have dozens of people waiting for each episode, we are letting a lot of people down.
We are letting people down.
That makes me feel guilty.
The other thing that'll be good, and we want to get on to talking to you all, but the other thing that'll be good about doing this is that it'll be good promotion for Wild Women.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of think hard on that question about, you know, why do I keep coming back? What do I get out of it? Why am I always glad I came? Right. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because then that will help encourage others. And we do want to encourage younger women to participate as well. And it's great to see, you know, kind of the intergenerational thing, because we really believe in that. Doing things together. And like I said, different generations are differently wise.
Yep. She said that so much one episode, I challenged our listeners to take a shot every time they heard it. I said, just not if you're in your car though, but if you're at home, you know, doing the dishes or something.
Take a Diet Coke.
Yeah. Every time she says that. I mean, it is a good line.
Isn't it?
It was on our t-shirt.
I came up with it.
You did come up with it. It was brilliant. But yeah, well, do you want to explain our Magdala pins? You've been very excited.
Yeah, I have been excited about these. So who was here last year for Wild Women when we talked about Mary Magdalene? Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a wonderful, retreat. And one of the things that that either Lisa or I shared with you, because we toured Holy Land together, and we went to the town of Magdala, which they have only really uncovered like 10 years ago. So all of the archaeological work is still going on. But they discovered where the synagogue was in that little fishing town. And there was this really beautiful bima, which is where they unroll the scroll to read it. And there was just this, I don't know, this image. It's called the Magdala Rose. And it's not been seen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sell like little, I don't know, stainless steel pens,
probably like tin
lapel pens, yeah. which we purchased. And so we were just always real proud of those. And we had the baseball caps with the Magdala Rose and all that. So this past Christmas.
Really big on swag. Yeah, I love merch.
So this past Christmas, my husband, Frank, her dad, was so excited about some gift that he had under the tree. And he had the same thing for each of us. And it's these pens. They're the Magdala Rose. And he had a jeweler to make them. And in the center is a garnet stone. Because one of the legends that we talked about of Mary Magdalene is her holding the red egg. Yeah, that kind of thing. So that was just so sweet. So we thought we would wear these today in honor of it.
Yeah, when Mom texted me, bring your Magdala pin. I went, the fancy one or the one we got there? She was, the fancy one. I was like, okay, got it. But no, Frank is very excited that we're wearing them. And he said, I hope I get all the kudos from people for that gift.
Right.
He's very proud of himself, and he did well.
He did well.
Yeah, it was a local jeweler that did this, so pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
All right, we're ready to go.
All right, I think we're ready to go. So we did say that we would pull questions first to get the ball rolling.
Geez, are we?
Okay. Yep. I told you this.
I know. I was just hoping you were kidding.
I'm okay. Not kidding. So you're. I'll go first.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But then you've got to set. I don't know. Should we set the question aside?
So we should have decided this earlier.
That's okay.
Oh, well, this isn't fun because I was born from a woman pastor. It says, how old were you when you first met a woman pastor? Minutes old.
Oh, oh well, I'm going to take that one.
I bet you take that one. That's
May I answer that?
Yeah.
I would say that, I want to be honest. Yeah, I was the first woman pastor I ever saw. Yeah. And so that was different, you know. And yes.
Well, and you wanted to be a doctor.
I did.
So what changed your mind, Mayor?
It was just very quickly. My senior year in high school, I was taking biology too. Lutheran Theological Seminary is in my hometown. And I had not heard, so this would have been 1973 or 4. I had not heard that women were now allowed to be pastors. I didn't even think about it. And then I don't know how I heard it, because our synod was saying absolutely nothing about it, because I've researched that. That's how I know. They weren't saying anything about it. But somehow, all of a sudden, somebody told me that there was an actual woman student at the seminary. Her name was Mary Sen, and I think she did become a pastor, maybe in North Carolina. Does anybody know that name? No. But it was like I was in biology 2 class, and the lights just went off, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do that, you know? And so I just started pursuing it from there.
Nice. She's never looked back.
Never.
40.
Mostly.
44.
Yeah, this is my 44th year.
Y'all, that's some longevity. I mean, for any profession, but ministry is its own kind of adventure.
Adventure.
Adventure. Yeah. Ooh, well, this might get me in trouble.
Oh, good.
If you could change something about the church, Big C, what would it be?
Oh, do tell.
So many things. For one, I would outlaw albs during the summer.
Albs during the summer.
I sweat so profusely during the summer. I feel like I'm dripping into the communion chalice. In all seriousness, I would have a woman in charge all the time. That's one thing. But no, I think... something that I think gets in our way a lot, I'm really proud of the Lutheran Church in the way we have professionalized ministry in a lot of ways. I think we hold our pastors and leadership to high standards in education and in how we perform professionally. And I think it's very, very cool that if you are at an ELCA congregation, there's a 99.9% chance that your pastor went to one of 8 seminaries. I mean, that's a very cool sense of unity throughout the Lutheran Church. And you kind of know what you're going to get whenever you walk into an ELCA congregation. I was a young adult in global mission, and I served in South Africa. And I mostly worshiped with people that were in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Southern Africa. And it was the Black church there. And so every worship service I went to was in Zulu, but I knew exactly where we were mm-hmm. in the worship service because it was the same liturgy that we use here in America. They made it a lot longer. I think the longest service I went to was 6 hours.
Yeah, I was there for the Easter. I preached at it was the Sunday after Easter.
Yeah.
That service was 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. And Who wants to guess what the longest part of the service usually is?
Oh, please try to guess.
Sermon is like second. offering.
The offering.
It is the coolest thing. The pastor will typically put like pails or buckets up at the front, and they'll say kind of which ministry is getting what. And then the choir or the musicians will start and everyone's singing, and the whole congregation will stand up and basically start like a line, and they dance and they sing and they wave the money that they're giving in the air. And as they pass by the buckets, they throw it in, and then everyone just keeps going around and around and around until the last person is out of money.
Well,
let me tell you, it's effective.
And that's the general offering.
Yeah.
And then what amazed me was, you know, you think, okay, everybody has sat down now. And then it's actually kind of the church council president who sort of leads the offering, or maybe the treasurer. And so they'll say, okay, now everybody who is celebrating a baptismal anniversary this week, bring up your offering.
Give us your money. Yeah.
I mean,
it is truly a joyful experience. And
exactly.
What's really, really cool is the congregation that I worshiped with was in one of the townships, so one of the exterior towns. And so people who were right down the street from the church, living in, you know, mudded walls with tin roofs, or people who had done really well and were living in town but still came to this church for communion or for worship, they were all still giving whatever they could. And I would see usually the folks who were a little well off slipping money to the people maybe behind them who didn't have as many resources, so that they could continue to be a part of this like incredible moment.
And I remember that the last category of people that they asked to come up and make an offering, and this is maybe, you know, category number 5 or 6 that they had called up.
Mm-hmm.
They said, everybody who has a job,
mm-hmm.
come forward and bring an offering.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
pretty incredible.
That's
pretty and so I guess something I would change was make offering way more fun, mm-hmm. Here. But yeah, it was incredible. And I made the mistake. One of the first worship services I went to, I knew I needed to take offering because I was a good Lutheran girl raised in a good home. And I knew you've got to take offering when you're visiting a church. And so I had my little handful of coins and I went up and I dumped them all in the bucket on the first go round. And I was like, ooh, in Cosia, de Alleluia. And I was dancing. And then they were like, go again. And I was like, I don't have any more money for you. So I just kind of like mimed throwing money in every time I walked past a bucket. But that was really fun. So yeah, South Africa is great. Go if you can. But I would say as excited and proud as I am about our professional nature, I think we could afford to cut some apron strings to our institution. I think institutions can become very dangerous places for people, and we can build more walls than we intend to. And so I think we can get a little more creative in our worship community setups and who we're reaching out to and kind of who we welcome into our doors. And just kind of like, you know, loosen the reins a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's go.
We got to get people involved.
I know. All right. Who would like to?
I'll take that. You go down.
Okay.
You go down. I'll go down. I'm going down too.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm going down too.
We don't really rehearse. I don't know if you can tell that. All right. Would anyone like to let us know how long you've been coming? Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Ebenezer in Columbia, South Carolina.
Awesome.
And I've been coming 3 years now.
Nice. Me too.
Me too. Yes. We've been here at the same time. All right. What keeps you coming back to Wild Women?
Well, the first time there was a dance party, and I was like, again after that. As in, last year was Mary Magdalene,
yep.
And my brain still hurts a little bit after that. But this year, I'm in treatment right now for chemo, for cancer.
Mm.
But I was determined. I was like, God, just give me the strength to navigate and get around and ask for help. And I've just been very blessed to be here. So it's the blessing, the fellowship, the sistership, the late night snacks, and talk.
All right.
Way to go, you. All right, would you like to pick one of these sticks? All right, pick one first. What does it say?
Who has had the biggest impact on your faith and why? Oh, that's easy. My granddad. And it's a combination of my grandfather and my mom's dad and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's like what I'm going through. It's like there is something everybody's going through. Some things are bigger, some things are smaller, but you just have to know that when you're going through something, that means that eventually it'll be behind you. So mm-hmm. I just go through things until it's behind
me. All right, beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, who else wants to contribute?
All right, anybody want to let us know how long you've been coming?
Don't let her fool you.
Tell us your name and where you're from.
These are my children.
Wow. Look at this whole row.
Judy Woolley got me started, I guess, maybe 30 years ago, 25 years ago. Wow. I was very young.
We need to start giving pens, not yeah. just for Lutheridge, but for Wild Women. Oh, okay.
What was the other question?
Well, I was going to ask what keeps you coming back.
The fellowship. Friendship and our group from church.
All right.
We're a close group, and you really get to know the ladies and your friends a lot better when you're in an environment like this.
All right.
And mm-hmm. to hear the pastors and everything. Mm-hmm. And Judy tells me to come.
All right, now Judy needs to talk. Okay, go Judy Woolley.
The reason all of us come is because of Linda. We wouldn't be here if she didn't get it all together. She's a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady, and she's our idol.
That's very sweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Would one of you like to pick a stick?
All right, you're older.
Okay, go, Judy.
When was the last time you laughed so hard you cried?
Or peed your pants.
I have to really tell that. We went this afternoon on a trip. There were four of us. And I don't remember being in my pants. But we laughed.
I never remember. That problem.
Set out. But it was so funny. And all while we were there, we kept saying, "This is joy, y'all. This is joy."
Oh, nice. Great. That's a good one. Great. Is anybody that's not at Ebenezer wants? Let me go. Diane. All right.
Out of our 16 people,
yes,
from Ebenezer Church, five of us graduated from the same high school.
Wow. That is cool. Hold on.
South Carolinians are loyal, y'all. They stick to that state.
All right, here you go. Yes. Say what your name is and where you're from.
My name's Jennifer Say, and I'm from Holy Cross Lutheran in Athens, Georgia.
Fantastic.
This year, there's 14 of us here.
It is so great. Wow.
I've been coming.
Yeah, for how long?
Probably... I don't think I came the first year, but maybe the second year. One person and I came to check it out.
Mm. Right. You were the scouts.
See if we wanted to bring a whole group. And so we've been coming ever since. Last year, I didn't get to come and hear about Mary Magdalene because I was sick.
Oh, no.
So I'm back this year.
You missed it. But awesome. All right, pick a popsicle stick.
What did you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah. What did you want to be?
Well, from my earliest memory, I always wanted to be a nurse.
Did you do it? Oh, right, fantastic.
She did it, everybody. She became a nurse.
Okay. I did it 40 years.
You did it 40 years.
And I retired.
Thank you.
Oh, bless it. For that. Time, thank God. For you, not for the healthcare system. We need you desperately. I'm just happy for you. I'm going to be great when it retires. That's my goal in life.
I know. Okay, so tell us your name, where you're from. How many years have you been coming to Wild Women? Is this your first year? Okay, why'd you come back? Tell us everything.
So my name is Ray. I'm from Claremont, North Carolina, but I came with a group from Tennessee because Miss Jess over here invited me. And while I booked my second year, I felt good enough to talk about it because I brought two other people. Hydra, the
nice.
And but I told them they were coming, essentially.
Okay.
But what really made me want to come back was just how kind everybody was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was, I felt comfortable enough to be so open and honest about myself immediately.
Wow.
At the first dinner we ate at, I think I was comfortable sharing way more about myself than I think I ever have with anybody ever. I'm sorry, y'all.
That's no small thing, it's not, right?
Yeah.
And then how theologically deep we went about Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good. Pick a popsicle stick.
What TV show or movie is your guilty pleasure?
And why is it Secret Lives of Mormon Wives? Season 4 just dropped. Let's go.
I will say I love, and this is the first time y'all are going to hear this, I love The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. They watch it, and I will sit and totally just read or be on my phone on the computer or something. But that drama is,
yeah. Oh, man.
I especially love the tell-alls and the bloopers.
May I talk about a question already asked?
Sure, if you insist. Hold on, though. You need to answer the
we don't have enough volunteers
first.
They know.
Okay. Name, where you're from, and how many years you've been coming to Wild Women, and what keeps you coming back, and then you can do the popsicle stick.
This is my first year here.
Oh.
I hope to come back.
Woo!
Sharon Lewis, I go to Christ the King and History Corners with all these ladies.
Oh, y'all. Yes.
And the question I want to answer is, who was most influential?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, Lutherans have great music. The pastors are wonderful, give great sermons. But it was the people.
Mm-hmm.
It was the community that was open arm.
Yeah.
Lots of love.
Oh, fantastic.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great witness that is. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's neat. Who else? Anybody, anybody, anybody? Okay, here we
go. Here we go. Here we go.
Uh-oh, look out. Okay.
I was going to say, where are my St. John ladies at? Come on now.
Okay, you know all the questions you need to answer. Okay.
My name's Carolyn. And can you hear me?
Yes.
St. John Lutheran Church in Abingdon.
Yes.
And your Wild Woman saved us.
Oh.
She was my first visitor when she came as a new pastor
right
to my home. And I loved her.
I know. She loves you too. I know that.
And we absolutely adore her. And she could never go anywhere else.
Okay. Noted.
She will not get a call anywhere.
All right.
What y'all don't know is I slipped Carolyn a 50 before this.
I hear you, Carol.
But she's a breath of fresh air. I don't know how long we've been having this, for years over here.
And well, so this is the 30th year. Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm a camp junkie.
So did you start 3 years ago?
This is my first year.
This is your first year.
But I'll be back.
You'll be back. Awesome. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, pick a popsicle stick.
Thank you, Carolyn. Oh, sweet.
Oh. What superpower would you want and why?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Power continued to get down.
Okay, that's a
that
lot.
Is power. Yeah.
We don't need to have you answer why.
We all need that one. Exactly. Superpower of continued health.
Right. I haven't heard that one before. That's cool.
I know. I like that. That is a great superpower.
All right. Who else? Anybody? Okay.
Oh,
yay.
Yes.
Okay. You know all the questions.
Yep. I'm Beth Thiel. I'm from Calvary Lutheran Church in Concord, North Carolina, over close to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first year here. I'm here because my daughter has been here for 2 years. She's not here this week. She came last week because we were supposed to come together, but we had a scheduling snafu.
Mm-hmm.
So we came different weekends. I guess I could.
Well, yeah. So now you need to get a popsicle day.
Who has had the biggest impact on your faith and life? And it's actually, it's a pastor, and I'm going to name him.
Dr. Norbert Hahn. And if you're from Athens, you might know him. He was down there too.
He's a Billy.
He was my pastor at my former church, and he just made a world of difference in the way I looked at my faith.
Yeah.
And then my father passed away 4 years ago, and I had a little dip in my faith and wasn't real sure where things were going. And I'll be darned if he didn't turn up as the interim in my current church and help me get back on the right path again.
Oh, what a great story. Yeah. Super. That's thanks, awesome. Beth.
Oh, we have a hand. Mom.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, my name is Nina, and I am from Christ the King Lutheran Church in Peachtree Corners, Georgia. And this is my second year here. I came last year for the first time because I'm a single mom, and so I always had a child. And so last year I convinced my mom to watch him so I could come. And now he's grown and flown, so she gets to come.
Nice.
I just loved it so much last time. Just everything we learned about Mary Magdalene just it left me with so many more books I wanted to buy, so many more things I wanted to learn. So I just knew that it was going to be a good learning experience.
Good.
Awesome.
Fantastic. All right. Choose a stick. Let's go internal here. Listen. Okay.
Where do you see God most often? I would say I see God most often in children. They love and they laugh.
I know. And they're so innocent and sweet too, aren't they? Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you. All right. Here we go.
My name is Brooke Bernhardt, and I'm from St. John's in Atlanta.
Okay. Good job,
everyone. This is my second year at Wild Women. Y'all, we are so hampered by responsibility so much of the time. But when we come here, I get to see how wild these other women are. And it is a riot. And I'm just here to watch my compatriots see the wild people they are. And
oh, that's fabulous. Awesome. We're so glad you came back this year. All right, pick a stick.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for women right now? A long conversation I had this afternoon was about not mimicking the gender roles that were modeled for us. And I don't think we figured it out yet, but we're trying.
We're working on it.
We're trying into that.
Yeah. We have to keep working on it, right? Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for that. Appreciate it. Yay.
My name is Teresa Foster. I'm from Joy Lutheran Church in right outside of Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I was raised Baptist.
And that's okay.
They only got wild in private. They never did. No one knew where they were when they did. So, it was a Lutheran pastor, a Lutheran church that came to my rescue. Whenever I got divorced and I had a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old, when they had one went in the hospital and had ear surgery, and then the other one went in the hospital 1 week later with spinal meningitis and all this died.
Oh my gosh!
And I had visited a Lutheran church about 3 or 4 times in 1 year, and because I had 2 sets of neighbors that were Lutherans. And I didn't know that people from a church actually went and looked at the hospital to see if they had any members there. I didn't know pastors did that.
So whenever my daughter went to the hospital,
before him, down,
of course, I Baptist because that's where I grew up. And no one came. No one put us on the prayer list. He goes in the hospital and I'm just going to put down Holy Communion Lutheran. I'm just going to do that. So I did that. And next thing I knew, the pastor came. There were people came to sit with my son while I could go get something to eat.
Wow.
Because the whole time he was in the hospital, which was 2 weeks, I worked every day and stayed with him at night because I had used up all my time with my daughter. But anyway, these people came out of the woodwork and they brought food to the house And I said, you know, no one ever told me what Lutheran was. But they sure act Christians. Wow. Anybody here remember Grace Weed?
Yes.
Grace Weed, she this is the 10th year of her death. She died 10 years ago. And she always came back from this weekend and just told everything about what a wonderful time she had. And I always wanted to go. She passed away, and I just, every year it's like, oh, I want to go. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the church said, we'll help pay for it. And I went, I'm going.
That's right. That's fantastic.
So anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate everybody that's here.
All right. We're going to start throwing popsicle sticks at you soon.
No.
Answer this right. question.
Do you want? I tell you what we can do. Let's read the ones that haven't been chosen yet.
Yes, because y'all, we thought long and hard about these. All right.
Well,
so
more or less,
Mom.
What?
We have to be like, we worked really hard on this. Okay, you asked that one already. Okay, here we go.
Oh, this is a good one.
If you have a good answer for one of these, raise your hand. What was your childhood nickname and why? I know someone. Okay, a hand went to a face.
Go get it.
So that is absolutely a crazy childhood nickname. Other people might have the same story. That's all right. That's what we're here to figure out.
My nickname was Boo because my brother was 9 months old and my mother got pregnant. Not Shanny.
Morbin. Ooh. All right. I love it. I love it. Anybody else good childhood nickname?
Mine was 1-1 because my brother gave me a little jersey that had the number 11 on that.
Oh, no. That's so cute.
That's cute. Does anyone have an embarrassing one? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. All right.
Hi, my name is Sally. And I don't know why, but growing up and all my life, my mother always called me Scratch. And then I got married to the man I'm married to now. And he said, I said, you know, Mom always called me Scratch. I don't know why. And he said, that's what they call the devil.
Did you ever clarify with your mother?
I mean, who's they?
Yeah, who's they? No, I think he's pulling your leg. How long have you? I'm like, how long have you known this man? Because I've never heard that. I think he's pulling her leg.
I don't know.
All right, next one.
Okay. What would be the title of your autobiography?
I'm coming, Sue.
I think it would be "I Did the Best I Could."
Amen, sister. Oh. I love that.
Me, myself, and I.
Nice.
How narcissistic of you.
I love it. Mine would be Carolyn liked me.
I all actually right. have a nickname that I never tell anybody much.
What?
I said, I have a nickname. Oh, that would be the title of my autobiography too.
I have a different nickname?
Wait. Oh, me.
No, I know. I'm asking you. What are you talking about?
I have a nickname.
Right.
Yes.
What is it?
Bunny.
Well, no shit. That's what everyone calls you. You made it sound like it was this secret nickname that nobody knew.
That's
and I was like, I've been in your life for 40 years.
Because I don't ever tell anybody in my congregations that that's my nickname.
Oh, because she's too damn professional for that.
That's right.
This is Pastor Mary Anderson, and don't you forget it. All right.
Well, it is sweet because I have, you know, in my family and all, and the reason I got the name Bunny is that I was born the day after Easter. So I was born on Easter Monday. And so my dad called me his little Easter Bunny. Yeah, I know. That's sweet.
See, and you got to tell people that's adorable.
It is adorable. But I have my good friends across the road had two little kids when I first moved back to Columbia. And so they're the only ones. Daniel and Anna are the only ones that call me Pastor Bunny.
Pastor Bunny. All right.
All right. Here's the we haven't asked them yet.
No, way to sort that out. Okay. Oh, okay. If Ben and Jerry's made an ice cream in your honor, what would it be called?
Nuts.
Nuts.
My mom and I are still hoping they bring back cashew caramel.
Chocoholics delight.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, no, we're just going.
Yeah, we're moving along. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you, somebody's got to keep this show straight. If you could host your own podcast, what would it be about?
And honestly, you can.
You can. Obviously.
Order a mic on Amazon and you're good and good. But seriously, what would you want to talk about?
I would go with the antics that happened in my high school classroom.
Oh, please. You're a high school teacher. How long have you been teaching?
8 years.
God bless you. 8 years. What subject do you teach?
American
literature. They still let them read that? I was going to get one dig in this weekend. That's awesome. I taught high school for 2 years and I ran for the hills and became a pastor. So that tells you how traumatic being a high school teacher is. Good for you, Nina.
That was that bad. Way to hang in there.
Hang in there.
All right, here's the last, we'll do this as the last one.
Okay.
If you could be Olympic level good at any sport, what would it be?
And why is it
look
curling?
Oh, look, hands going up. Oh, Lord.
Anyone else get addicted to curling this winter? Yeah.
Curling.
Yes.
How to be a sweeper and curl. In South Carolina. Yes. And I'm dead serious.
Yes.
I'm up at 5 a.m. to watch curling. Mm-hmm. I love curling. And for those who are on the radio, I am an African-American woman. The website is Chicago.
Yes. I love that so much. Okay. I grew up on the north side of Chicago. We should talk there. All right, Sue, what would you want to be Olympic level good at?
Well, I was Olympic level good at equestrian. I qualified for the United States Equestrian.
She qualified for the Olympic team in equestrian.
Cool.
Wow. She's in my congregation, y'all. Watch out. All right. Anybody else? What are your Olympic dreams?
I would probably have to say gymnastics because that's like my favorite thing to watch.
Nice. Gymnastics. Yes.
Which event is your favorite?
Yeah.
Floor.
Floor? So you hate your knees.
Ice skating. I want to do a triple lux. Triple lux.
She wants to do a triple lux. Very nice.
I think you just got to start training now.
I mean, if you just put a little effort into it, I think you'd be fine. How hard can it be?
All right.
Just jumping and spinning. I
know.
Yeah. What about you, Mom? What Olympic sport would you want to do? She's a born athlete.
Oh, yeah. Totally born athlete.
Mm-hmm. If preaching were a sport, whew, watch out.
I know. I do like the figure skating, and I mainly say that because when I have daydreams about Olympic sports, that's what I'm always doing.
You have daydreams about Olympic sports?
Yeah.
I'm learning so much about you this weekend.
I know.
My Lord. Wow. I asked my mom last night. She's a very serious lady. Everyone thinks my dad is funnier because he's louder, but she actually has the better sense of humor. She just doesn't always use it. And she was the parent that, like, you didn't care if she got mad at you, but you really didn't want to disappoint her. Like, I'm sorry. So we're standing in the back last night, and I'm kind of like, you know, Mom, we're helping lead this thing. We should probably, like, get in there and play some of these games. And she looks me dead in the eye and goes, I don't play games.
It is true. You just walk away from it.
I was like, what did you play when you were a kid? She goes, I don't know. We used to go to construction sites with our hammers and see if we could hit stuff. I said, that's vandalism.
I was a little worried even as an 8-year-old that the police might come. Yes.
You should have been worried that the police might come.
I know.
A bunch of little rugrats on bikes hitting new construction with hammers.
It's
terrifying.
It's pretty fun. Well, we need
the 60s.
The 60s. So we need to wrap this up, and we just want to thank you all so much for indulging us. And I think we learned some great things about each other. You know, every time we do something, even just, it just has to be a little bit different, as I'm sure like a lot of the workshops were and all the different events that we've had. And it just kind of keeps, I don't know if it's pulling back layers or adding on layers of appreciation for each other. And you're just all incredibly awesome. And we're just really privileged to be here with you.
Yeah. Thank y'all so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is your on mute. Good night.